to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're going to talk right now with Kevin Freeman, who is the author of Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack, and founder of GlobalEconomicWarfare.com, as well as a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. Kevin, there is a lot going on from a national security perspective, but I always find it interesting that you can put at least a viewpoint of how economic policy and growth and situations have a fairly profound effect on our national security. And you got a piece you wrote talking about how growth is a national security priority for the United States. And I just wanted to give our listeners a little bit of an idea of why that is and how it affects our security.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. The bottom line is that we beat the Soviet Union by outgrowing them. Economic warfare has long been a part of national security strategy. It's the strategy that was adopted by the Chinese in 1999, and they had an incredible run of growth, and they've become now an international power. It's the strategy that's been adopted by the United States, but long ignored under the Obama administration, where we didn't grow any more than 2% during any one single year. But it is absolutely necessary that we grow our economy in order to afford the defense that we have, in order to keep the policies in place that are pro-freedom policies. People tend to follow their own economic well-being and how they vote and how they think and so forth. So yes, absolutely, growth, economics, and national security are intertwined.
So let's go pro-growth, and that seems to have been one of President Trump's big items he ran as a candidate on. And one of the things he's talked about is taking the shackles off of U.S. industry and companies and productivity by removing a lot of the regulation that just seems to be the main product of the state here in Washington is creating regulations. And I always thought he should get one of those giant industrial shredders and put it out on the East Lawn at the White House, and then every Friday have his aides wheel out a bunch of giant dollies full of regulations and just toss him in the shredder as he announces they're being removed. I mean, is that a good start?
Yeah, that's a great idea. In fact, we need to understand the opposite. The Chinese wrote a book in 1999. It's published by the People's Liberation Army Press. It was written by two senior colonels, one of whom is now a general that runs their National Defense University. And it basically said the way to beat America is to undermine them by getting them bogged up in mass regulation, slow their economy, get them to where literally they are no longer growing, and then we outgrow them. They actually talk about regulatory strategy, and Putin is famous that he was actually funding anti-fracking efforts, increase the regulations on hydraulic fracking in order to stop the American energy boom.
Before we get to Russia and all of that, I wanted to ask you that Chinese growth policies, as you mentioned, were very successful. Were they real in the end? Did they actually grow in a way that's going to stay, or is part of it a facade?
Well, initially the growth was absolutely real. They were coming from a very agrarian society, but they have a misallocation of capital that comes whenever you try and centrally direct an economy. You end up getting pet projects and misallocations of capital, and the free market does a much, much better job. But yes, there were large. The Chinese economy has grown in large part in real terms. Lately, more recently, though, the misallocation of capital has allowed for really bad loans and banking sector problems and so forth that people like Gordon Chang have picked up on. And right now, their economy is not on solid footing. It is a house of cards.
Let's talk about the other big dog in the global economy, Russia. Now, obviously, you mentioned that they put some money into anti-fracking efforts to try and slow down our ability to be, if not energy independent, at least less energy dependent on sources of energy from our enemies. What else is Russia involved in, both from their internal policies to grow their economy and do what they can, and ability to kind of mess with us and slow us down.
Well, Russia has also serious economic problems. They have one real main export, and they're developing a second, which is a little bit scary, but their primary export has been oil and gas, and they've used that as an economic weapon. What they've built more recently are cyber efforts, both, and they have some of the top cyber protection labs are located in Russia, and that's a potential national security risk if, as long as American companies are adopting Russian companies as their cyber protections, but also cyber hacking. They have, so that's become a growth industry in Russia, and it's a serious threat to the world. All of that centers around the idea that Vladimir Putin understands that we're in a global economic war. And he's long said that we've got to displace the America from the preeminent position. We've got to remove the dollar as the world's reserve currency. We've got to create alternative structures. And he's been working with the Chinese now for a number of years, specifically since 2013, but he was trying even before that, to reestablish the global economic order. And we've got to understand that. When I tried to bring this to the administration, the Obama administration, they would hear nothing of it. Russia wouldn't do that, and they wouldn't interfere with America. Why would they do that? Of course, they've changed their tune given the last election.
Well, now, let me ask then, is there any chance, I mean, Russia and China have a fairly solid frenemy relationship. What you just outlined would be about as big and bad a thing for us as possible if they actually went after, you know, the dollar as reserve currency or anything. Can they find enough common ground to do that?
That's a good question. They could not in 2008 when Hank Paulson, our then Treasury Secretary, was told by the Chinese that Russia was trying to collapse Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and force the Treasury to bail them out and collapse our economy. That was mentioned in Hank Paulson's memoirs, On the Brink. So they did not get China to join them in 2008. They did get China to at least provide rhetoric around this in 2013 when the Chinese said we must remove the dollar as reserve currency of the world. And I think it's interesting that the president was dining with Xi in I guess he was in Florida at the moment we were ordering the missile strikes because that was putting a potential dividing wedge between Russian and Chinese interests.
Let's go back to Putin. He's obviously got economic issues. Are they going to be driven by economic problems at home to be more expansionist on the global, you know, geopolitical, geostrategic stage?
Putin's in a pretty precarious but interesting position. He may be the richest man in the world based on what he controls, which some estimate as much as $200 billion under the control of Putin. But his economy is not in great shape. The one thing he has going for him is the incredible resilience of the Russian people. They've survived Nazis and Nazi invasions and everything else. They're very resilient people. But he may be in a very – so he's got to get some wins on the board to keep his approval rating at home, and he's got to show Russian economic strength. And so I believe he is absolutely adventurous, and he is – putting money all around the world where he can, given the fact that Russia has a limited economy and it's not in tremendous shape. So I think you mentioned an article that Bloomberg has a declining value of the ruble. That would benefit him because it would allow him to export his oil and receive more value at home for it.
Well, that unfortunately, an adventurous Putin is not something that we really want, but we'll deal with it. You know, let's see what Secretary of State Tillerson comes back from Moscow saying. Kevin Freeman, thanks for joining us. That's going to wrap up Secure Freedom Radio for today. Frank Gaffney will be back tomorrow to give you more ammunition in the war for the free world.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.